Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Friday, everybody. Jupiter and Uranus are finally going to conjoin this weekend, but did you know that the Sun is also going to square Pluto this weekend? So, Merry Astrological Christmas. There are so many gifts and blessings to choose from, and the Sun Pluto, which itself can be a very powerful transit, nothing to leave out of like a weekly coverage on my channel. It's, you guys know that I frequently cover all of the Sun Pluto dynamics. It's happening almost at the exact same time that Jupiter Uranus dynamic is happening, and I almost spaced on talking about it. I was like, oh, you know what, like we should talk about that. So that's what we're going to do today. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments and reflections. I love to hear from you guys and what you're thinking, what you're experiencing. You've got a story to share. With all these big astrological transits, use the hashtag grabbed or email us your story, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Tell us your story and the transit that goes along with it. We might use it in a future storytelling episode, so don't share anything you're not comfortable with us using. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. I'm going to take you over there right now because we've got a few promotions running. And here we go. Couple of things happening. Live talks. If you missed it, you can pick up the replay of the talk that I gave on Uranus in love and relationships. That talk is coming. It'll be posted as a recording, so you can pick that up on the shop page. Next month, May 16, we're going to look at Neptune's movement into Aries, which is happening in the next year as Neptune culminates at the 29th degree of Pisces right now. Felt like an appropriate time to start looking forward at the significations of Neptune and Aries. In June, I'm going to be looking at the 12th house, and in July, I'm going to be looking at Uranus's movement into Gemini. So some good talks coming up. If you go to the courses page, first year course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, starts on June 16th. I previously quoted you guys the wrong deadline for the early bird payment. It is May 15th, not May 1st. I apologize. So you have until May 15th to use the early bird sale and the early bird tuition option, which saves you on either the tuition installment plan over 12 months or the early bird sale on the class. There is also need-based tuition assistance. If you need some help making the class happen, you can click apply and choose from a few different sliding scale options. Those are for people who, you know, might be struggling a little bit financially. So we're glad to help you out if that's the case. This class is my first year class in ancient Hellenistic astrology. Second year class also starts in June. And the horary program also starts in June. If you already have a background in traditional astrology, you could certainly jump in on the horary course. If you stick around today, after I am done with the regular content, I will be talking about the year one program in depth. There's a little video tagged onto the end so you can check it out. All right. But today we're going to talk about Pluto and the Sun. Let's take a look at the forecast here. So this is Friday, April 19th. And if we take this forward, we're going to see that by Sunday, April 21st, just after Jupiter and Uranus separate, we are going to see the square between the Sun and Pluto. Let me get my epic pen. Oops. Here we go. All right, let me just highlight it for us. So here's the Sun in Taurus, entering Taurus, by the way, here over the weekend. We just back this up a little bit. Today, April 19th, Sun enters Taurus. It's within 2 degrees immediately of a square to Pluto. So you'll be feeling it tomorrow, and then it perfects earlier in the day on Sunday, and it starts fading by Monday as Jupiter and Uranus come through. I mean, like as they conjoin on Saturday, you have the Sun coming into like a half degree square of Pluto. So it is a potent weekend. And what I want to talk about are the Sun-Pluto significations in general and how they might be interacting with the significations of Jupiter and Uranus right now. So first of all, let's remember that the Sun for ancient astrologers was the emblem and light of spirit. And the word spirit was loosely related in the ancient philosophical tradition that informed astrology coming from Platonism, Pythagoreanism, and so forth. The The light of the sun and spirit was associated with that which is ideal. Like, everything in this world that happens is a reflection of a higher form. And then our opinions about what happens in the world are reflections upon reflections. Plato would say that they're like opinions and not so valuable compared to, let's say, the kinds of insights, experiences, and wisdom into the higher nature of reality that the good, the true, the beautiful, that can inform our lives and lead us to like virtue and happiness, ideally, in a kind of enlightened way of living. So the sun is related to all that is ideal. However, in our lives, we fashion a life based on the ideal images that we hold dear. So I want to be an astrologer. There's an ideal image of an astrologer in my head, you know, like a sage who knows a lot about the stars and mythology and can like offer wisdom to other people. And this was an image that became really, really compelling to me. That's apparently why I decided to become an astrologer. Could be that it's a musician or a dancer or a lover or a parent or whatever, a doctor, a humanitarian. But these images, they become like fixed in our mind's eye and in our imagination, and we live a life and we aspire to these images cast in gold that we believe, you know, if I do these things and I aspire and I become likened unto these images, that I'll be happy. And we spend lifetimes, according to most of the ancient traditions that believed in the transmigration of the soul, we go from lifetime to lifetime pursuing different ideals, different dreams, different desires, different images. And, you know, as we go along, we hopefully throughout the course of lifetimes are refining our sense of what the gold standard is. You know, like eventually the idea goes something like, you know, we might start thinking about the virtues of, rather than, you know, can I be the best athlete or what can I get or what can I become? We might think about embodying qualities like peacefulness, contentment, you know, tolerance, patience, humility. So lifetime after lifetime, as we pursue different ambitions, we also come closer to knowing the truth that all beautiful images and forms reside in, that the truth of the divine mind. That's like a lot. Like, you know, like that's philosophically, you know, like that's a lot. Most of us are just trying to do the best we can, like pursuing whatever dreams or images we have in front of us, you know, and trying to do so while being hopefully, you know, good people and so forth. But the idea is that progressively the soul becomes enlightened, and that as we explore our dreams and desires, that we learn that the truth of what stands behind or within all of our dreams and desires. And that leads us to the realm of the Ede, the Archai, the gods, the realm of that which is eternal and divine. That's a lot. That's the sun, right? That's so we just think, you know, just think of like how far we've gotten when like someone goes, well, what does the sun mean? Or like, oh, it's your ego. Your sun sign's your ego. No, not really. So it is your ego insofar as you can get identified and associated with the aspirations or desires that you have as an individual. You know, to the extent that I think of myself as the archetype of an astrologer and I conflate my identity with any archetype, we could talk about that as a potential problem of the ego, a problem that the sense of identity, develops. Because we aren't archetypes, we're souls. And part of what we go through in life is to aspire toward our ideals and to sometimes get identified with them, you know, like gold fever, gold rush. We idolize, or we become like, in the old biblical sense, we become idolatrous. What does that really mean, though? You know, it's like, well, it means that we become fixated on particular archetypal images and we develop archetypal, we become identified with an archetype. We think we are the archetype when actually we're where we are a soul, and the soul is a like a mediating ground for archetypes. But we have to go through a process that Carl Jung described as differentiation. You know, we try on all these archetypes, we become identified with them, we become magnetized like moths to a flame, to the golden image of various desires. We become identified with them, and then we have to differentiate from them because we become possessed by that which we try to possess, you know, especially when we think that it's the thing, the golden thing. And this is the complicated symbolism of the sun and its dark side. So, but you can't just say ego, you know, no. I mean, come on, let's talk about it. Now, what happens when the sun runs into Pluto? Well, here you have the planet who was the brother, basically, of Zeus. Zeus rules the upper world, which is the realm of order and beauty and coherence, and there's a sensibility to things. Jupiter is like the realm of the cosmos as a well-ordered, pristine, beautiful, sensible, intelligible, mathematical, musical, just place. Even if there's karmic justice and so on and so forth, it's just kind of this perfectly balanced, ordered place with all the good and bad of it together. But there's light and dark, but it's all perfect. And that's sort of Jupiter's realm. Hades, the opposite realm, is wild, and it plays a role that, you know, it's easy to be scared of, because one of the things that the realm of Hades does, as being the realm, the opposite realm of Zeus and the brother of Zeus, Hades is it has to do with everything that is it's the place of chaos. There's images of everything being upside down in the underworld, and there's forgetfulness, and there's all sorts of just it's much more like a realm of primordial yin chaos and incoherence, and it's much more irrational. If you think of, you know, when I think about Pluto, one of the things that I like, a very Plutonian filmmaker is Tim Burton. He loves to bring Hades like up and out into Zeus's suburban world. Even like Zeus's cosmos is sort of like a suburban cosmos. Okay. You know, it's like, oh, look at it. So ordered and nice. And, it's sensible. You can study astrology and you can set your clock to it. You know, when your Saturn return's happening and all that good stuff. But you know, Hades, man, it's like Beetlejuice, you know, it's like that. Or it's like a Jodorowsky movie. You know, what was the movie? Something in the Sacred Mountain, Fire on the Sacred. I can't remember what it was. Something about that. Anyway, you guys know Jodorowsky at all? I mean, yin magic chaos. So what happens when the sun hits Pluto? One of the best things that happens is, to whatever extent we've developed archetypal inflation and identification. In other words, we have way overemphasized the importance of some particular archetype we've become obsessed with, that we desire, that we are pursuing, that, or that we've become identified with. Then all of a sudden Pluto comes along and, you know, it exposes us to that which is chaotic, irrational, dark, unsettling, and disturbing or disruptive to that sense of something being ideal and beautiful. And most of the time it has to do with thoughts, images, ideals, ambitions, people, leaders suddenly being shown as mortal, flawed, corrupt, dark, or sick, you know. Fathers get sick, CEOs get sick, people in power are exposed for corruption. It's like that, you know? And, or it could be like, it's the moment when someone who thinks that they, like, let's just say, for example, that you get really identified with wealth and power. You developed it. You've earned it. Maybe justly, or I don't know. You get some degree of wealth and power, and you really get identified with it. I'm the man, you know, I'm the woman, I'm it, that kind of thing. Sun Pluto comes along in a transit to your birth chart, and suddenly you lose wealth or power or status, or you become sick, or maybe you do something and get in trouble for it. Something comes up and it shows you, actually, you've been possessed. You've been possessed by an impulse to be powerful and great or something like that. And now you have to let it go, and you have to come back to being just a flawed, normal soul, you know. And by flawed, I don't really mean anything by that. I just mean you just have to, you're not an archetype, you're just a soul. And that's actually the best place to be. Just the best place to be. So Pluto Sun transits will often sort of shatter the golden image, or they will they'll take the sort of polished looking thing and they Tim Burtonize it. You know, Christmas, it's like Nightmare Before Christmas, you know. So one thing that's really interesting about this weekend is that the breakthrough indicated by Jupiter Uranus, this kind of revolutionary impulse, the emancipatory qualities of Jupiter Uranus, just such a powerful and really kind of exhilarating and exciting transit. Isn't it interesting that it's happening right as we're looking at something that, you know, might be, it's like it's time to look at the shadow of something. That the shadow of something and a revolutionary breakthrough moment are going hand in hand. Where it's kind of like it's time to take out the trash, you know, because you see something for what it is. Oh, that's not working anymore. That stinks. That's expired. That, you know, like that needs to go. Or you see something for what it is that you've been trying to paint as something other than it is. But either way, you know, when that golden image of the sun gets in touch with Pluto and the darker subterranean side of things can participate, it's very powerful, because one of the other things that can happen is we can adjust our desires, our ambitions. They can transform. The things that we aspire to can go through some kind of death and rebirth crisis and change. The reordering of our values and our aspirations, and the deepening of our understanding and wisdom of what is true and beautiful and of a higher order of things, you know, like what is higher, what is the higher good, what is the higher truth, what is the higher value, what is the best and most noble aspiration or use of my time, what are the highest qualities and standards. These can actually come forth during a Pluto Sun transit, because you take out the trash, you get ready, you just become clear about what is or what isn't you know, beautiful, good, and true. And Pluto can help you see it really deeply. And in a weird way, Pluto can like amplify the luminosity of the sun. There's a way in which whenever you're in touch with the full spectrum of what an archetype is, and you have some healthy differentiation from it, the archetype becomes so much more beautiful. You know, it's like when you can understand that while the sun as an archetype can represent everything that is of the higher sort of Platonic ideal truth, you know, it's like all of these things that are just beautiful and good and true. And you're like, that's what the sun is. But also the sun can represent the propensity to be entranced and hypnotized, like gold fever, gold rush. It can be like, you can get like, there's a kind of idolatry in the beautiful golden light of the sun that can make people crazy. When you understand that, you understand that there's a darkness even in the light. You know, that's what the yin and yang symbol is getting at. You see the little speck of dark in the light and the dark. It's the same thing. you can't understand Saturn until you've found the light in Saturn. There's so many people I know who have never taken the time to find the brilliance and light of Saturn. That's something I've spent so much time talking about on my channel, right? The same thing is true for the sun. If you can't find the darkness, like the dark kind of core, I think of that song, you know, Black Hole Sun. If you can't find that kind of sun in the sun, you're missing out. And that's the beautiful thing that Pluto can do for the sun. If you ever had a Pluto sun transit, it like takes you into dark places specifically so that you can value how clarifying darkness is, paradoxically, right? Not talking about literal light at this point, of course. So anyway, I've gone on and on. I have no notes. This week has been just what a mess. I did a live cast. Yeah, I'm recording this in advance, right? I record my videos a little bit in advance, but like I'm making this video in the midst of having made a live stream about the astrologer that passed away and took the lives of some people in her family. And like, it's just been a wild week. Holy cow. I don't know how you guys are doing, but I'm really just kind of slapped this one together, guys. I'm sorry. I hope you got a lot of good content this week other than this ramble fest today. and I hope you have a great weekend. And I hope that you will really get something good out of both the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction and the Sun square Pluto, that rare configuration of two events at once. You don't need to do anything. Just watch, live and learn. And you'll learn a lot about these archetypes. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I can't wait to hear your stories. And if you stick around after I sign off, you can hear more about the upcoming program. I would love to study with you. Come study at Nightlight. We have incredible programs. We have an awesome staff. It is a fantastic place to transform yourself from the inside out, learning ancient astrology in a really spiritually focused and intentional way. All right, that's all I've got. Hope you guys have a good one. We'll see you again soon. Hey, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, my year one course in ancient Hellenistic astrology that begins on June 16th. If you'd like to learn more about it, of course, you can always do some digging and looking at the course page on your own. I'll take you over there right now and walk you through it. But if you want to, you can go over yourself and look. Nightlightastrology.com is the website. Click on the courses tab and go to the first year course. This is the one that begins on June 16th, the perfect place to start for people who would like to learn more about natal astrology from the Hellenistic point of view. So this is a one-year course in Hellenistic astrology, which is the oldest form of astrology, and it is the form from which all subsequent forms of astrology come from. It shares a lot in its roots with ancient Indian astrology. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what characterizes Hellenistic astrology, but just to familiarize you with this page, when you go to the first year course page and scroll down, you can learn more about everything that's included in the course. Some of the main features include 30 classes on the year. These classes are spread out through units of curriculum. And in between the major units of curriculum, we have breakout study sessions led by our tutoring staff. We also have an interactive group forum discussion that is staffed with tutors year-round. You always get your questions answered within 24 hours. So there's a lot of support built into the program as we work our way through the curriculum. We also have recommended reading, listening, optional quizzes, flashcards, bonus lectures, more than you could possibly read in a year, honestly. So we just have a large and long biography and sort of library of suggested bonus content that will fill in blanks and also supplement and deepen the material that we are studying. You get lifetime access to all the recordings. If you cannot attend the webinars live, they meet on the weekends, but if you can't attend them live, then you are welcome to follow along with the recordings, which are made available to you on the class website. So this class meets on Sundays from noon Central to 2 p.m. Central or 1 Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you might translate that, I guess, if you're on the West Coast, it would be what, 10 a.m. to noon Pacific time. During the program, in addition to working our way through all of the major curriculum, the major foundational elements of Hellenistic astrology, we place a strong emphasis on preparing ourselves to read charts for other people. Whether this is a hobby for you or something that you are endeavoring to practice professionally. The course is built for people who are really there for a lot of different reasons. This is your hobby. This is your passion. You hope to do this for really no one other than yourself or maybe friends or family or someone who really decides they want to start a practice. You can take this class at whatever level of interest or depth that you want because of the amount of material that we make available to you inside and outside of class. You always have access to the program too, so you can always, you know, take it at your own pace. You can attend live, follow along with the recordings, some combination of both. And then the breakout study sessions are really helpful in addition to our interactive group forum discussion. You can always ask us questions. You can email me anytime with questions. So we have a lot of support in place. Now, the curriculum, we move through the foundational elements of ancient astrology. You may look at the curriculum and say, well, I know something about these things already, but not really, not unless you've studied Hellenistic astrology, because the way that ancient astrologers talked about houses, signs, planets, aspects, essential dignities, chart delineation is radically different from what most people learn when they start studying modern astrology. The reason for that is that it's only been in the past couple of decades that we have finally had access to the vast majority of ancient texts on Hellenistic astrology. We were literally missing the bulk of our ancient tradition. So the kind of rebirth or reawakening of ancient astrology is really new, which makes this very exciting because everything you've learned in modern astrology is probably coming from the lens of what is called psychological astrology, which is a way of looking at the birth chart in terms of the planet signs, houses, and the way in which they may relate to your psychological makeup or profile. In this way, birth charts are a little bit like an elaborate Myers-Briggs. So you have the personality profiling, which is the way that most people look at planets, houses, and signs. You'll notice my Mars, my Venus, and they think of them as aspects or dimensions of your character and personality. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we utilize much of the same language, and we certainly have that approach available to us in this program because ancient astrologers also looked at the chart in terms of psychological makeup. However, one of the main distinctions between modern astrology and ancient astrology is the emphasis that ancient astrologers placed on prediction. They looked at the chart in terms of a field of karma that defines the native or the individual's fate or destiny. And so we look at houses, signs, planets, aspects as a way of understanding what patterns, themes, and topics are going to be most prevalent and at what times, because they also had a very elaborate system of timing techniques. The year one program is all about learning to read the birth chart and understanding the ancient hermetic sort of Platonic Pythagorean philosophy that was behind the establishment of all of the doctrines and teachings of astrology itself. So it's really about understanding where everything comes from. It's the why behind everything that greatly empowers people when they're learning astrology. It is not nearly the same when you just study lists of adjectives and descriptions for houses, signs, planets, aspects. We want to understand why. Why do we do these things at all? Where did it all come from? And when you understand that, then you have something like a skeleton key by means of which you can access your own creativity, your own intuition, rather than being told, just play these notes in this order and it will sound good. You're learning to improvise, which, you know, could anyone ever want to play? Why would you want to play an instrument if someone told you, well, here's how to play it. Play this, play this, play that. And you never learned how to play something of your own, or you never learned how to use the scales in ways that were magical and, pertain to your own genius. So when we study ancient astrology, one of the main things we're doing is we're taking people beyond anything that they think they've learned about houses, signs, planets, aspects, and we're teaching them where it all came from. And once you have that, then you're really cooking with fire. You have a magical, intuitive capacity that is very rare and precious in astrology. So anyway, we move through a lot of different elements, but not in the way that you've ever learned them before. And that's a really important distinction. So anyway, after all of that has been said, in each unit, we spend, maybe up to 10 hours on houses. And then we have a breakout study session. And then we have reading and bonus material. So when we talk about houses in this class, you are learning where the concept of a house ever came from in the first place, what it is, how it works, and how it's different from a sign. You're also going to unlearn and break a lot of bad habits, because not by any intentional ignorance, but modern astrology being bereft of its ancient textual tradition has been teaching a lot of things that are just not in line with where the actual theoretical foundations of astrology come from. So you're also going to break some bad habits, which is really good for people who maybe know a little bit about astrology already, but are seeking to clarify and understand theory in the context of the 2000 year history of astrology. So anyway, this class is going to prepare you to read birth charts for other people. But then by the end, one of the great things about the program is that the way we do that is not just by pumping you full of theory and history and philosophy. We are also in the last portion of the program inviting live clients into the class. And that's great because when we have live clients come in, you're going to see me read from them using the theory and techniques that we've been studying. And you're going to see how they can be applied artfully, as well as, giving you some tools and methods and techniques to use to set you up for success. Seeing live astrology practice while studying it is the best way to learn. So the last portion of the program, we turn toward that hands-on approach. Anyway, so that's a bit about the program. If you have any questions you want to ask, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. We're happy to answer any questions you have whatsoever. I also want to point people to the payment options at the bottom. Early bird payment saves you $500 off. That is a great way to save. The payment plan is breaking the tuition into 12 monthly installments. If that works better for you, no worries, you can do that. And then need-based tuition. We, for many, many years now, dating back to 2010 when I started teaching astrology, I've always had some kind of sliding scale option available for people when studying astrology. Sacred science like this should be accessible to people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we pride ourselves on making sure that there is tuition assistance available so that if your budget doesn't match with the payment price that we ask for, and that's an honest assessment that we trust you to make, that you can take advantage of the tuition assistance and set your price within a sliding scale that we provide for your monthly tuition for 12 months through the program. So please feel free to apply for that if it makes sense to you. We don't want people hurting themselves or overextending themselves. A price that fits your budget is available through the need-based tuition. We just ask that you apply early because we do fill up sometimes. So anyway, that is it. I hope that you will consider studying with us, and thanks for taking time to learn more about the program. See you later.